Hey parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. From pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
As a woman entrepreneur, you know that every connection counts, whether it's with your customers, your team, or your community. Spectrum Business is here to help you build those connections stronger and faster. Imagine running your business with fast, reliable, fiber-powered internet so you can stay connected to customers, employees, and vendors without having to worry. We know flexibility matters. That's why select Spectrum Business packages come with a 3-year price guarantee, so you can focus on running your business. Plus, enjoy savings on internet, phone, TV, and mobile services when you bundle, all with a 30-day money-back guarantee and no long-term contracts. With Spectrum Business, you get more than just internet. You get support with 100% U.S.-based customer service, real people who understand small business, ready 24/7 to help you stay up and running. Join millions of business owners like you across America who trust Spectrum Business for reliability, speed, and support. Visit spectrum.com/business today to get started. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
What do you think about the Laker team now?
You follow the box scores of the games every day? Just the Lakers.
You're kidding. That is really a compliment.
I was pleased to see you smile at the top of our show, because once the game starts, you have a game face. You don't smile much out there.
I don't think you have to do things for money anymore.
Correct.
What's up, Laker fans? Welcome to the 10th season of the Laker Film Room podcast. Isn't that crazy? I'm Pete, joined by Darius and Dee. Yesterday, the leaders of the Lakers Brain Trust kicked us off with their introductory press conference. Rob Pelinka and JJ Redick sat and took questions for about 36 minutes yesterday. And if you didn't have a chance to listen to it, I jotted down notes of what each guy said that I want to read off top without expounding on any of it. Hopefully, this will go by very quickly. But it started off with Rob Pelinka gave an offseason recap. We got the center that we were looking for, got a couple of good 3-and-D wings. Luka extended. It was a very productive and intentional offseason, he said. He also dropped the news that JJ Redick signed a contract extension, although did not provide any of the details for that. If you were playing the optionality drinking game where you took a shot every time Rob Pelinka said optionality, you were feeling pretty good by the end of the press conference. Talked about that a lot, about avoiding the aprons. But he also pointed out that optionality could be now. We'll pull the audio from that a little bit later. He said that we would trade draft capital for a better chance at a championship. Evaded a question about from Jim Hill about the championship pressure. With in terms of specifics, talked a little bit about Ayton in the short role, talked about the sports performance staff working with Marcus Smart to get him back to a place where he can play most of the season and get back to where he was a couple of years ago as the DPOY. Was talking about Luka being very demonstrative. I'd love to talk about this a little bit later, what he noticed from going to Poland to watch him play and practice with his team at Eurobasket. He kind of parried some questions about Rui's future and then made some comments about Mark Walter being an energetic presence, but also saying Walter has a strong level of belief in the operations of this place and that he didn't anticipate there being big changes. On the JJ Redick side of things, he really emphasized conditioning at the top, and I'd love to get into that with you a little bit, D. Said the team has been in the gym every day since mid-August, getting a lot of pickup runs in, that, you know, guys are in great shape. He feels like Luka's commitment to his physical conditioning feels permanent. Said that he's had a couple of meetings with LeBron, and he feels like LeBron's in a great spot mentally. Talked about it being a very productive summer for the coaching staff and how he actually had a full offseason this time compared to last year when he was working as an analyst and, you know, kind of picked things up in the middle of the summer and just the difference of there. Talked about spending some time with Sean McVay, the head coach of the Los Angeles Rams. Parried away a question about the fifth starter. Said we got 7-8 guys who can start, and I haven't thought a lot about that. Seemed to really like LaRavia, brought him up unprompted, talked about the need for Marcus Smart's voice, said Austin has been the best player in the gym, talked a little about Dalton gassing himself out. That's about it, though, D, in terms of the rundown of what we talked about yesterday. Don't expect us to get into every part of that, but talk to me, my man. What were your impressions of yesterday's press conference?
Another good session with Rob and JJ. JJ a little bit less forthcoming than what I would have liked as an outside observer who wants as much information as I can get. That's not a criticism. It's just I'm thirsty for specifics. And he spoke in a lot of generalities, particularly around the idea of who the starting lineup would be and what changes we might see schematically from the team. A lot of, you'll just have to wait and see now, won't you? Maybe you still got that podcaster in him going to the next break, right? But I was interested to hear that JJ has already gotten his contract extended. That typically does not happen after just one season. I saw Dave McMenamin report that it's his understanding that Shams has been told that it's a multi-year extension. So it doesn't sound like they added another year for the year that he just coached. I think JJ was already on a 4 or 5 year deal that he was signed to. So if he's potentially locked up for another 6 years, that's a long commitment for a head coach. A lot of coaches don't make it to 6 years.
Aside from any of the specifics, that was one of my big takeaways from yesterday, and it stacks on previous times that they've spoken, is they're very much on the same page. Reddick was talking about how they kind of have similar philosophies about certain things, alluded to gratitude in that particular instance, but I do think they see things a lot of the same way, and we've talked a lot this summer about the Lakers' operational decision-making being a little bit convoluted. A lot of chefs in the kitchen, right? But where we are right now, I think those two are far and away the biggest influences, with Luka being the third in terms of what the roster looks like and why. And I think that they are very simpatico, which I don't agree with what at least I think are some of their basketball philosophies. That's going to be true of whoever coaches the team, whoever GMs the team. But I do think it's very important that those two positions are on the same page. And that's one thing that I always come away with from not just talking to them, but also talking to other people about their dynamic, is I think that's a good thing. Whether you agree with the direction they go in or not, having both your head of basketball operations and your head coach really in lockstep, I think has a lot of value.
Them being tied at the hip is certainly something that I think can be productive for the team. We'll see how all of that goes down the road as well, too, right? Like, there's a cynical side of me that I won't delve into too much now, but I'll stock that away for a future conversation for sure. The other thing I would say that stood out to me, Pete, was just the general idea that they do believe in a lot of the players that are on this team. Although I do find it interesting that one of the names that did not come up at all was Gabe Vincent's name. I'd love to get into this probably in the second segment of the pod, but when they were talking about Marcus Smart, for example, Smart was brought up as a secondary ball handler potentially to like Luka and Austin. And that set off a little bit of an alarm in my head, because that's typically the role that Gabe Vincent has played on this team. I also thought the parrying away of conversation about Rui
was twice.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. As well, they spoke highly of Rui, and I think that that falls in line with a lot of the stuff that we know, or our perception of what their beliefs are about Rui, that he's well-liked, and they appreciate all that he's done. We're not going to talk about potentially active discussions for a... like, that was interesting. Like, I don't know what to read in to that because Rui is extension eligible. And so the prospect of him being on the team beyond this upcoming season is something that I've considered, but not within the context of him being extended necessarily. So that's an interesting idea as well. But I think that overall, a lot of positives were said. I think that both guys clearly have a strong view of what the current roster is. Rob again spoke about giving this group some time and like the 20-25 game mark. I haven't always agreed with that idea. I do think that if you do believe that the team is deficient in some area, that you don't need to see it play out for you to then say like, oh, well, it kind of confirmed our suspicions. Now let's get more active in the trade market. But overall, Pete, like not a lot of surprises for me of what was said beyond the fact that JJ was extended, which wasn't necessarily a surprise. It was just an interesting thing to me. Was there anything that stood out to you as like, huh, I wasn't expecting that, or that's interesting the way that that was framed?
There were certainly a lot of interesting moments for sure. There wasn't a ton that I didn't expect necessarily. Rob parrying away Jim Hill's question about, is there more championship pressure? And which is, you know, there's always going to be a certain level of championship pressure, but Rob really turning that to a process and optionality type of answer. This was one thing that you said that when we were talking about our expectations and hopes for this is, I kind of don't want to, I mean, maybe I'm misinterpreting what you said. What I heard from you was more of a, I'd like to hear a little more assertiveness rather than the focus on optionality and all of that. And so that was something that stood out to me of a, I think this is the best team they've had in a few years going into the season, that hearing Rob kind of parry away from that in that context caught my ear. But all in all, I think it went mostly pat. But what was your reaction to that?
I think that that's fair. And I think your interpretation of my comments are also fair. I just love to hear him say, we're starting from a place where we want to compete for a championship. We think that this roster is there or closer. Something that doesn't come off inflammatory or can potentially be spun negatively. But the idea is like, we're going to continue to be aggressive and we think that we've got a group that deserves that mindset to be aggressive. The optionality stuff, you said if you were playing the drinking game that you'd be feeling good, you might be on your way to the hospital for alcohol poisoning. Depending on what kind of liquor
we're
you
talking
were
about, yeah.
Right? Because there was a lot of optionality after the fifth or sixth mention of the word. I think I texted you and Jeannie and said, do I have the optionality of no longer listening? Because because it was a lot, of optionality. And we were about a third of the way through the presser. I was not going to turn it off, obviously. But there was a lot of talk about that. I did at least appreciate the idea of Rob saying optionality does not always mean long-term. It could mean short-term as well. It could mean the ability to make a move now. And so I did at least appreciate recontextualizing the word some, because I think using that word does often push your brain ahead and into the future in ways that I'm not always fond of, particularly if you have generational players on your team.
Absolutely. Let's take a break here. And when we come back, I want to talk about one of the most important elements of basketball that we rarely talk about.
Hey, parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
As a woman entrepreneur, you know that every connection counts, whether it's with your customers, your team, or your community. Spectrum Business is here to help you build those connections stronger and faster. Imagine running your business with fast, reliable, fiber-powered internet so you can stay connected to customers, employees, and vendors without having to worry. We know flexibility matters. That's why select Spectrum Business packages come with a 3-year price guarantee, so you can focus on running your business. Plus, enjoy savings on internet, phone, TV, and mobile services when you bundle, all with a 30-day money-back guarantee and no long-term contracts. With Spectrum Business, you get more than just internet. You get support with 100% U.S.-based customer service, real people who understand small business, ready 24/7 to help you stay up and running. Join millions of business owners like you across America who trust Spectrum Business for reliability, speed, and support. Visit spectrum.com/business today to get started. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Why have I asked my HVAC guy I found on Angie.com to change my grandpa's trachea tube? Because I was so amazed by how quickly he replaced our air ducts. I knew I could trust him to change Pop-Pop's tube while I was on vacation.
Make it quick, young man.
Aw, see? Pop-Pop trusts you.
I think we should call a doctor.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
The last event of last season was also a press conference with Rob and JJ, post-exit interviews with the players and whatnot. And one of the things that Redick really wanted to emphasize was the conditioning of this year's team. And that was a big character in yesterday's presser as well.
I would say this, we've asked all our guys to be in championship shape and not starting on Tuesday. And so the commitment level across the board from our team has been very high this summer. You know, we've had organized workouts. The guys have played pickup nearly every day. We've added conditioning at the end. They've all been committed to it. But I think for me, that's probably the biggest thing. It's not a basketball thing that he can or can't do. It's just all of us being in elite shape.
And he seems very happy with where the team is at. I think that this is a sharp observation from his perspective. He brought up unprompted at one other point about how he was talking to the coaching staff the other day about their early offense stuff, that all of it requires running. And remember, this was such a big part of my complaint last year with last year's team. It's like, this team doesn't like to run. And being in good shape is, and the best shape that you can be, is so critical to that. This was a big part of Redick's career. He was one of the great runners of his era. He could go all day long as an off-screen type of shooter, but also as a chaser, defense. He did a lot of running, and so this is very important to him, that I really loved the emphasis on that. And then what we heard from him on that front of everybody's been in the gym since mid-August. Obviously, you know, Luka's been doing his own thing. I don't think that includes LeBron yet, but I'm not positive.
LeBron was probably in China at that time, and JJ did mention that he had commitments with overseas promotional stuff, and then he did get his vacation in with Savannah. And so I think LeBron is always on the edge of things, but he did bring up LeBron too. It's like LeBron's commitment in this area has always
been there.
So it's just like, I'm not worried about LeBron in the gym, but
everybody else, you know, it's been very much a point of emphasis is we want to get you in the best shape as possible. And we've obviously seen Luka and take that and run with that. Ruiz looked very good in the photos I've seen, and just Redick seems very happy on that front. And so that's not an area of basketball we talk about a whole ton, is the conditioning element, but it's so important to being good. And for this particular Lakers team, I think it's vital.
I think it's vital as well. And you and I and the history of our fandom, we understand this well. Pat Riley, Showtime Lakers teams were some of the best conditioned teams in the league. It's one of the reasons why I often bristle at the idea of just like, oh, the Showtime Lakers and this element of starriness and like potential like softness in ways where it's just like, oh, Hollywood and the sort of implications of that.
That's how the Chow-dominated Boston media, NBA media, sure, always loved to portray the Lakers back then. And then we'd whip their ass, and then it was like, yeah, but so much was built on a level of toughness and rebounding and physicality, and you can go, go, go.
Yeah, the inherent ability to run, and the amount of conditioning and training and work that goes into being able to play the style of fast break basketball that those Lakers teams perfected, that's rooted in conditioning. And go ask Pat Riley about what it means to be an in-condition athlete, or any of the players who have played for the Heat or the Knicks over the years, if you want to talk about how that suddenly now he's on the East Coast and how those same ideas are presented, yeah, when you coach the New York Knicks.
He does the same shit for the Knicks, and all of a sudden they're rough and tumble. It's like, it's the same dude.
Oh, you're lunch pail now. Oh, like, man. You were Hollywood Glitz before.
You're peeling off some very old scabs right now.
Look, man, these are the things that Lakers fans carry if you're of a certain age. In any event, the point about being in championship condition, I also appreciated the fact that JJ was just like, no, we're not just talking about Luka Doncic. We're talking about every player. I appreciated his comments about Austin in this way too. That's just like, Austin looks in much better condition. He looks stronger. He looks ready to go.
It's been a constant comment from our staff. He's been the best. Every day he's been in the gym, he's been the best player in the gym. But I see, again, this goes back to last May, all summer. His body is really good right now. Like, he's really strong. His burst, his athleticism, it's evident that he spent a lot of time working on his body this summer.
Our expectations for everyone are like this. Even like with Ayton, mm-hmm, he said the same thing about it.
Got the same expectations for him.
Like his expectations are the same as everyone else's.
It was part of a defense that he offered for Dalton as well for a poor summer league performance. He was like, I feel like he overextended himself. This is part of my defensiveness to a certain degree about Dalton. Is he's got a great reputation for that dude's in there every day, showing up at 5 o'clock in the morning, putting in the work. Redick was arguing that he did too much of that prior to summer league and it hurt his game. But he was also saying that they just did their last conditioning drills and competitions, and Dalton smoked everybody as a result of that.
Yeah. And so I'm encouraged by the overall state of the team. I've seen pictures of Marcus Smart as well. Smart looks in great shape. You mentioned some of the social media stuff that you've seen of Rui. I saw photos of him standing next to LeBron, and Rui and LeBron both look great. LeBron looks fit in a way as well, where I saw him at the Hall of Fame ceremony and I sent you a text message. I was just like, everyone's talking about quote unquote skinny Luka. There were some angles of LeBron where I'm just like, look at skinny LeBron.
Everybody's skinny. Yeah.
Right. And so the idea of fitness and how that can translate to running more, to being a better transition team, I think that this can really help them defensively. There's a lot of stuff that I'm just hopeful that a more conditioned team and a team that has more stamina can play deeper into games, can be more effective mentally even later into games, because I think that physically, if you start to feel worn down mentally, you will then follow.
One of the oldest coaching idioms is fatigue makes cowards of us all. And that's something right. that can show up in the fourth quarter. There was something I was laughing about. My most cynical read of anything from yesterday was, and I want to get into this, the broader answer more, but Mike had asked Redick about, you know, you've had sort of time to think about where did your mind go? That was sort of the essence of the question. And Redick brought up methodology and philosophy as being two big things as part of that. And then I'd listen to him do a sit down with ESPN LA, the ESPN radio out here, that was sort of along the same type of lines, asking about, you know, what had you reviewed and thought about from your performance? And Redick talked a lot about self-assessment, but there was one part in particular where he's like, yeah, you know, I was thinking about my performance and what we need. And I was thinking about game four. You'd brought up game four in the ESPN LA interview. That was the one where everybody played the second half or played the entire second half, and about, like, you know, where I need to improve and whatnot. And again, this is my cynical read of it, but the way it came across was like, I realized we failed there, because my players are fat. Get your ass on the baseline. Like, get in shape over the course of this offseason, right? And so there's a certain, you have to be somewhat hard-headed as a coach on certain things. And yes. One of the things that I learned was you can focus on a couple of things. You can't be everything to everyone. I remember my first year as a coach, I wanted us to be great in transition defense, transition offense, have really good zone looks, really good man looks. And this is like, you know, a 15-game high school season type thing. But I'm like, oh, we want to be good at everything. And I realized that that dispersed too much. And then the year we won league, it was like, we're going to be good this, this, and this. And that seems very high conditioning is on Red X. Like, no. I'm going to put my foot down. And a coach only has a couple of bullets to fire in this respect. But I love that he's using one of them on this.
Well, yeah, because it's the most translatable thing. If I want my kid to be one thing in life, it might be disciplined, right? Because if you have discipline, that's going to apply in all of these venues of your life, right? And all throughout adulthood. And so in getting back to basketball, if you could have them be one thing, it'd be supremely conditioned, because at least then I know that at the end of games, you'll be less fatigued. You'll be able to have competitive drive and spirit for longer stretches during the course of a game. Of a normal 5-minute shift could get extended to an 8-minute shift or a 10-minute shift, and you're still able to go in a way that if your opponent is set up in the same circumstances and put against the same conditions, then they may wilt. This is one of the things that I've always loved about what happened in the bubble and why I always push back against this idea of just like, oh, the fakeness of the championship or whatever. It's just like, no, bro, everyone was away from their family. Everyone was stuck in these hotels. Everyone had to eat the same food and ride the same elevators. And no one had to deal with travel or lack of fans or anything else. The conditions were exactly the same. Right. For all the teams.
They were different than previous years, but for everybody in that competition, that's as fair a competition as you can get.
So maybe the team that only lost 5 games but won 20 of them, or won whatever, 16 games, right? It's just like, maybe they actually were the best team when they smoked everyone. How about that? Let's go to break here, Pete. And when we come back, I want to talk a few more specifics of things that were brought up.
Hey parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. From pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
As a woman entrepreneur, you know that every connection counts, whether it's with your customers, your team, or your community. Spectrum Business is here to help you build those connections stronger and faster. Imagine running your business with fast, reliable, fiber-powered internet so you can stay connected to customers, employees, and vendors without having to worry. We know flexibility matters. That's why select Spectrum Business packages come with a 3-year price guarantee, so you can focus on running your business. Plus, enjoy savings on internet, phone, TV, and mobile services when you bundle, all with a 30-day money-back guarantee and no long-term contracts. With Spectrum Business, you get more than just internet. You get support with 100% U.S.-based customer service, real people who understand small business, ready 24/7 to help you stay up and running. Join millions of business owners like you across America who trust Spectrum Business for reliability, speed, and support. Visit spectrum.com/business today to get started. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Why have I asked my HVAC guy I found on Angie.com to change my grandpa's trachea tube? because I was so amazed by how quickly he replaced our air ducts. I knew I could trust him to change Pop-Pop's tube while I was on vacation.
Make it quick, young man.
Aw, see? Pop-Pop trusts you.
I think we should call a doctor.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Sometimes it's the omission of things that aren't said that are interesting to me. I get it. You're not going to hit on every player. You're not going to be able to talk about everyone. But you mentioned earlier that like LaRavia got brought up unprompted by J.J. Redick. A couple of names that weren't said were Gabe Vincent and Jared Vanderbilt. I bring those two guys up specifically because they were rotation players last season. Jackson was brought up not by name, but by the emergence of Ayton. It was a lot of like, poor Jackson. The Lakers finally got their starting center who is great in the short role. And can like, I was just like, oh, Jackson is under the bus somewhere as Ayton gets praised. But I'm interested if there was anything that stood out to you in terms of the things that weren't said about players, or if that's just like 35 minutes of talking, you can't say everything.
Well, it's also so much of what they're saying is responses to questions that whether or not they talk about Gabe Vincent or Vando is going to be a function of whether somebody asks about them. And nobody really asks. Now, when they do bring up someone unprompted, like LaRavia, that does ping my ear. But one of the reasons that they don't get brought up is that. But what I did want to focus on this front was Redick's response to the fifth starter question. He said, I haven't given it a whole lot of thought. It was one of the few things that he said that I was like, I don't really like that. Now, I understand coaches not wanting to reveal their starting lineup or him to not necessarily even have it at this point prior to any practice or anything like that. However, having, if not your starting five, I feel like sometimes when we ask, who's your starting five going to be? It's more of a who is your closing five? Who are your five is one of the most core basketball questions. At the end of the day, who are your best five that you could put on the court that every single really elite team has that? Now, might they have a sixth player? Redick posited that they have seven or eight guys that can start. I don't necessarily agree. I think it's six, but it's fine. But I do think that narrowing that down to that is important. And so when he was like, I haven't really given it any thought, and he brought up the fact that, you know, I did this last year where I named my starting lineup in this presser, and then that lasted all of eight games, and we ended up running 24 different starting lineups, with sort of the implication that it's like not a huge thing to have your starting lineup at this point, which I agree and I disagree. I think that that's part of one of the things you can correct the next time that you go into the next season. Ideally, you don't have to change starting lineup because this group didn't work or anything like that. So how did you take that particular comment or lack thereof?
So I'm so happy you brought this up because I actually have a lot of thoughts. I'll start in the first place, which is something I said on our Great Western Forum pod that we did the other day with Anthony and Trevor Lane and Jovan. And I had brought up that I do think it's important to establish a starting lineup early, and particularly in choices between Rui and Marcus Smart, in that the archetypes of the players are so different that you sort of choose a pathway by deciding, like, this is my fifth starter.
You had brought up Vando as sort of like, if it was Marcus Smart versus Vando, you're similar-ish type of players, close enough to where you're not necessarily choosing a different path, just a different player. Rui versus Smart is a different path.
100%. And so I do think it's important to sort of choose a pathway and also to get it right, right? But choosing a pathway, I think, is particularly important when we're talking about those two players specifically, because it's not like your whole team is different, but I think the defensive asks on Luka, LeBron, and Austin change a fair amount if it's Smart versus if it's Rui. So in that way, I didn't like JJ's comment. Now, I will say, JJ Redick telling me he hasn't thought much about his starting lineup.
Yeah, bullshit,
if there was a bigger lie told yesterday, I'd love for fans to tell me what they thought was a bigger lie told, right? Because JJ Redick said, I haven't considered something that's vital to what's going to happen for his team next year. Sure. Buddy, you got caught at a car wash in between your kids' AAU games crunching tape while your car is getting washed, right? And so please do not tell me you have not considered or haven't thought about it much. I'm sorry. So I gave him some side eye and I got a bit of a chuckle out of that comment because he was being very serious. And then he did pivot very quickly to sort of like the best laid plans idea. It's just like, yeah, like you say you want it to be this and then things go to hell or I get starters traded. So please don't talk to me about what I want my starting lineup to be or else some guy is going to get traded out of it. But I do think that I would prefer that he choose. I also don't expect him to tell us. And so the idea of we're holding that back is a totally fine response. My BS meter went up a little bit, though, when he's saying, like, oh, I haven't thought about it. I will say this, though, Pete, in talking about the fifth starter, we've advocated for Smart. And I thought some of the comments made specifically about Smart over the course of the presser were interesting to hear. One of them was when JJ was asked, what's the hope that he's going to add to the team? And I was intrigued by what he said.
We need his voice. That's part of communication, his competitive spirit. And defensively, he, you know, it probably went a little bit under the radar because of the last 2 years, but he still grades out in nearly every metric in 80th percentile or higher. So he's still a very versatile defender. And to me, he's always been a little bit of an underrated playmaker. I think with, you know, Austin and Luca, those guys are obviously going to be primary ball handlers for us, but Marcus can be that secondary ball handler.
So Pete, that idea of toughness, competitive spirit, and his voice,
yes,
being important, that stood out to me as like JJ sort of singling him out as another leader within this team. That I'm intrigued by that idea, and I'd love to get your thoughts about that or any other comments that were made about Smart over the course of the presser.
I think Smart is the captain of the team's defense. The Lakers are very much going to need him to be a leader in that respect. Another comment about him was made by Pelinka that caught my ear about he had just talked about Ayton and his abilities in the short role and him incorporating into the team. The first thing Pelinka said about Smart was that he'd been working with Dr. Leroy Sims and the sports performance team to kind of get his body back to where it was. To the implication, at least, that I took was just to get through 82, to not play 35 games or whatever Smart had played and actually get through a full type of season. I do wonder about this team, and I have all summer, how much of it is an on-paper team versus they can actually show up day-to-day. And that is one wrench in all of this, one bit of information that we don't have relative to Redick, Pelinka, everybody who will be making these decisions on starters and things like that, is where Smart is at physically and is asking him to be a 30, 32 minute per game starter the best way to get through an 82 game season with him playing 70 of those games. I remember one of the arguments for not playing Caruso back in the day, the, hey, let's play this guy 28, 32 minutes a game, he's awesome, is that, well, if you do that, you can have a physical accumulation of bumps and bruises and he's not going to make it through, basically, is that type of guy. And so that is something with Smart that I wonder about, is where is he at physically relative to the rest of the team? Because I don't think that when we did the Great Western Forum, all five of us had Smart over Rui as the starter. I think it's way likelier than that, at the very least. I think there's at least a 20, 30% chance that it's Rui. So part of the reason for that might be where Smart's at physically.
Yeah, and I also think, too, that there is a law of diminishing returns when guys who you would say, like, what's their best skill, and it would be, like, playing hard. Caruso was definitely that. Like, I loved a bunch of the stuff that Caruso did. Obviously, he's a super smart player or whatever. But that idea of just like, well, how hard can you actually play if you scale up from the 22 to 24 minutes a game that he was playing to like 30 minutes a night? Those extra 8 minutes are not soft minutes, man. Not when you're a guy who's diving all over the place, getting bumped and bruised, fighting over screens, basically like being the most physical version of yourself that you can be regardless of what size you are. Marcus Smart is cut from that same cloth. He's going to fight and battle and play as hard as possible. And there's a toll that takes on you. And not only that, those extra minutes from minutes 24 to 28 to 32 to 36, it's like, are you going to be able to do as much in those minutes, particularly when you're 30, 31, rather than being 21 or 22? It's just a different deal. The last thing I was going to say about this, Pete, and this is a question that didn't get asked, but we've talked about this a little bit. The Lakers lost essentially 1.5 rotation players from last year's team, right? They lost a full rotation player in Dorian Finney-Smith, and they lost basically what I consider a half a rotation player in Jordan Goodwin by the time the end of the season came. To that, they have basically brought in three rotation players, right? They brought in Marcus Smart, they brought in Jake LaRavia, and they brought in DeAndre Ayton. And they brought back everyone else. And the prospect of saying, no, actually, we are a deeper team. How does that impact your reasoning around rotation and stuff like that? That's a question that didn't get asked. But it's something that on media day and in the aftermath of the practices, I'll be interested to hear how that's impacting the competition and training camp, the camp battle stuff, and also where JJ's head is, not only around the starting lineup, but around like what the rotation looks like. And is he going to expand it? Is he going to shorten it or whatever?
He made those comments about changing his philosophy and methodology and really reviewing that over the course of this offseason. And that's a fun thread to pull on because he didn't get too much into detail. So that should be very fun to see that. And so that's where we leave off. If you didn't get a chance to listen, I hope we were able to recap it for you and fill you in. We will be back on Monday with Media Day. The real, it felt like this is, you know, teacher orientation type of thing. And then Monday is going to be the first day of the school year. And so we will be back to cover all of that. But until then, you've been listening to Laker Film Room Podcast. We'll catch you guys next time.
Baines has got it in low to McHale. McHale wants to turn. He's double teamed. Just pass out of front. Broken up by Worthy. Tip to Magic. Worthy dies on his belly. Magic scores.
And Magic got it. Magic fires. It's good. The Lakers win the game. The Lakers win the game. Rebound of Lottie. 3 seconds left. Van Exel to win it. It's on the way. Good.
Kobe Bryant. 48 points. 16 rebounds. Shot with his eighth block. An NBA Finals record.
A lot of Laker fans sticking around for this.
You're seeing something that's very rare indeed. A Laker to get MVP chance
right, in Boston.
In Boston.
Of all places.
Are you kidding me?
Kobe, hard to believe.
Are you kidding me?
Unreal.
Are you kidding me?
Lakers looking to push. Bryant spinning in the lane. Back for Gasol. Ready pass. And it's back to a three-point game.
Kobe Bryant picked up by Bell.
There's the move. Two, one.
Miss it.
Unbelievable.
It's over.
And shot clock now to five. Bryant.
Yes.
And that was a little tough to Alvin Gentry.
Add insult to injury, Kobe. I mean, what a shot. I mean, you can't defend that. Are you kidding me?
2.1 seconds remaining. Denver a foul to give. Jokic. Trying to disrupt Rondo. He puts it in. Here's Davis. 4-3 in the win. Oh, it's good! Anthony Davis has won it for the Lakers! James again. Oh, he hits another one. LeBron James putting together a closing quarter against the Nuggets.
This historic 2020 NBA championship belongs to the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers conquer the bubble, and banner number 17 will soon hang in the rafters.
Are you really buying a car online on AutoTrader right now?
Really?
At a playground?
Yeah, really. Look at these listings from dealers.
Wow, your search can really get that specific.
Really?
And you just put in your info and boom, car's in your budget.
Mom needs a second, honey.
You can really have it delivered?
Really, or I can pick it up at the dealership.
Mom!
One sec, sweetie. Mommy's buying a car.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Kyle, again? Really?
AutoTrader. Buy your car online. Really?